Dear listeners, Sairam, we now bring you part one of our program Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. Today's episode was first aired on 8th May 2014 as part of Thursday Live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Sairam, dear listeners, and a hearty greetings from the abode of Prashanti Nilayam. Prashanti is the abode of peace. Be it summer or winter, dry or rainy, nothing ever stops eager aspirants from all over the world thronging into this divine hamlet. And just 2 days ago, we had the sublime ceremony in the memory of Mother Ishwaramma. On May 6, 1972, the Mother moved on and merged with the cosmic consciousness. The same cosmic consciousness which chose her out of millions of mothers on the earth to grace her womb and glisten in her heart and home. On one occasion, Bhagwan said, Ishwaramma was the chosen one. I chose her to be my mother. Well, God comes down in human form once in a millennium, and those who are his contemporaries are truly blessed. But imagine the great good fortune of the soul God selects as the mother of his incarnation. It happens to only one individual in an entire age. Just like it happened with Kausalya in the days of Rama, Devaki in the Treta Yuga, Mother Mary in the recent times, and Devagiri Amma for Shirdi Sai, and now Ishwaramma for the Satya Sai Avatar. On one occasion, Swami said, it is because Kausalya bore him in the womb that Rama shone forth as God. It is because Putlibai fostered him that Gandhiji became famous as Mahatma. It is because the chaste Ishwaramma brought him up with love and affection that Satyanarayana earned name and fame as Sai Baba. Well, that is the love, the respect, the reverence of the Lord on his earthly mother. Professor Kasturi, the blessed biographer of Bhagwan, who has written the book Ishwaramma, the Chosen Mother. In it, he has done a beautiful documentation of the pious life of this great soul. And in the foreword of this book, Professor Kasturi says, we were present at a special session of the Academy of Vedic Scholars, founded and guided by Bhagwan. This happened on December 31st, 1970. Swami blessed all with a discourse and then he asked, any questions? Then the editor of Navakal, the Mumbai daily newspaper, this editor ventured to ask Swami, Swami, from when have you shown these signs of divine power? And Swami's answer came instantly, promptly. Swami said, from my very birth. Why? Even before, I was at Shirdi as Sai Baba, before I incarnated in the Raju family as at Puttaparthi. And before that, I was Krishna. The spontaneity with which Bhagwan answered this just left the editor absolutely speechless. And of course, there were many other important people in that hall that day. The minister for Home Affairs in the government of Maharashtra, Mr. P.K. Sawant. There was a speaker of the Maharashtra Legislative Assembly, Sri Barde. There was a chairman of the Maharashtra Legislative Council, Mr. V.S. Paje. But the editor, when he heard that response from Bhagwan, he did not know what to say. He stuttered. He said, so that is to say, he was saying, and Swami just took over. Swami said, that is to say, I resolved on my birth. I decided who should be my mother. Mere humans can only choose the one who is to be their husband or wife. But the mother was chosen by the son in the Rama and Krishna incarnations, and then too, as now, the task for which the birth was decided upon was the same. The conferring of prema on all, and through the fostering of prema, the cultivation of righteous living among mankind. This is what Bhagwan said. The task has always been the same. To shower love and to lead all on the path of dharma. But the instruments for different ages have been different. And for the present times, it is so fascinating and interesting. The Lord chose a poor, illiterate, middle-aged, tender-hearted, absolutely unsophisticated, pious, rural, humble, a housewife. Probably because in her, steeped in her, were sterling virtues. Virtues which the Lord wanted the world to recognize. Virtues which the Lord himself unraveled. And only when we saw these different facets of this glorious diamond, only then it became clear, at least to some extent, why Bhagwan had handpicked this noble soul for such a significant role in his avataric mission. In the foreword, Professor Kasturi further says, and I quote, "When we review the life of the mother of the avatar, we find ourselves progressing through curiosity, expectation, compassion, and wonder, landing in appreciation, admiration, and adoration." Ishwaramma was allotted the high impossible task of expanding her awareness beyond the ring of hills, beyond the barricade of tradition and taboo and the wall of custom and caste. Burdened with the prestigious and pardonable pride of the most precious motherhood a woman could aspire to, she could not, in spite of consistent effort, jettison the homage she attracted from all the continents. Even while in this predicament, she, like any other earnest sadhaka, earnest aspirant, anxious to win his grace, had to trudge along the inner path that leads from multiplicity to unity, from dispersion to concentration and meditation, from egoism to detachment, from passion to serenity, from unconcern to the love that cares and shares, from maya to the master. Unquote. Well, these are the words of Professor Kasturi, and that is the journey, if you reflect, that is the journey of every spiritual aspirant. And in that sense, it was the same with the mother too. But how the mother made this journey and how the Lord guided her, cared for her, comforted her, loved her and liberated her, this is what is unique, absolutely unique to her story. Towards the end of that foreword, Professor Kasturi says, I quote again, "I have herein attempted to picture the mother through a few feeble strokes of the brush. I confess my inability to present a fuller portrait in spite of the 24 years I was privileged to spend at Puttaparthi, where she too was active in the village and at Prashanthi Nilayam. But she was too modest and humble, too non-communicative for me to delve into her actions and reactions. She laid bare her heart to me only on the occasions when she needed some pestering doubt clear, some knotty tension loosened, some deep apprehension exorcised, some rumor explored. She found in me a person who understood her predicaments and problems and who adored her as the mother chosen by the Lord." Unquote. So this is what Professor Kasturi confesses as he ends his introduction to this beautiful book, he is saying that there is so much more about the Mother Divine that needs to be explored. And given that the mother would never speak about herself, and more often than not prefer silence to words, he could not do full justice to her character and life. And dear listeners, recognizing this, we in Radio Sai, over the years, in our own way, have been taking those small strides in documenting episodes and anecdotes from her life, which we've been able to gather from senior devotees who have seen her, who have interacted with her, and also from what Bhagwan himself revealed about her in the later years after she left her mortal coil in May 1972. And what we have gathered over the years is truly priceless, is truly something worth ruminating upon, is truly something for us to meditate upon and instill in our hearts and implement in our lives. So some of these facets is what we will be discussing today as you listen to this last segment straight from the studios of Radio Sai on Thursday Live.
To Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside Inside Deep Inside, and today we discuss Mother Ishwaramma, the living scripture on Indian womanhood. Mother Ishwaramma, the living scripture on Indian womanhood. And to share his thoughts with me, now is my Sai brother and colleague, Arvind Sai. Regular listeners of Radio Sai would definitely know Arvind Sai, a gifted singer who has performed nearly 18 Burakatha presentations in the Divine Presence, and even now continues to sing and perform Burakathas in the Prashantinilayam Mandir. You would always find him singing bhajans in the morning and evening in the Sanctum Sanctorum. And the reason I requested him to be with us on this program today is Arvind Sai, along with his two other Burakatha teammates, has performed so many presentations on the life of Mother Ishwaramma many times in the Divine Physical Presence, and even has had the opportunity, plenty of opportunities in fact, of interaction with Bhagwan, where he heard Swami share details about his mother in informal conversations. Besides this, Arvind Sai in Radio Sai also looks after the Divine Discourse database. So he is someone who is most familiar with our repository of divine discourses than any of us here. So he is the best person for us to know what Swami has said informally about Mother Ishwaramma, as well as what he has declared formally in his divine discourses over the years. So with great pleasure, I welcome Brother Arvind Sai to the studios of Radio Sai. Thank you so much, brother, for being with us for the benefit of all our listeners when we are discussing such an important, beautiful subject, the life of the mother of Bhagwan, Mother Ishwaramma.
Thank you, Vishu. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity.
So, Arvind Sai, tell me, you are someone who has had such beautiful interactions with Bhagwan and performed the life of Mother Ishwaramma, read so much about him, sang so many songs adoring Mother Ishwaramma. What is the most cherished scene, the uppermost thought that plays in your mind whenever someone mentions the word Ishwaramma?
Sairam, dear listeners, first thing which comes to my mind about Mother Ishwaramma is, in the year 2006, on March 9th, there was a sudden Burakada program wherein we took the card to Swami and asked Swami, can we perform Burakata on Shirdi Baba tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
And Swami said, why tomorrow? Today you get ready and come.
Okay.
And then instantaneously we went to hostel, got our costumes. Within half an hour, Swami asked, how much time do you want? We said, Swami, 20 minutes. Swami said, half an hour you go, I'll sit here only in the mandir.
Wow.
And then Swami waited for us. That's the only time where we had only our, other than normal Burakada costume, we had kurta pajama. And we performed.
After you didn't have that elaburate...
No. There is no costume. Mustache, there is no nothing, there is okay. No gungru, okay. Nothing. Just we put on the Burakada instruments we have taken and we started performing. And after the Burakata, usually Swami spends quite a bit of time with us to, he usually showers his love, he gives very valuable teachings. After Shirdi Baba Burakata, we went to Swami and we asked Swami, how did you like it? Swami said, so wonderful, everything is wonderful. Then Swami said one very important point, which I remember is, Swami said, tell me your company, I shall tell what you are. And then Swami became emotional. He said, you have praised so much about Devagiri Amma today. Is my mother anything lesser than her? And he started weeping like a small kid.
Oh my God.
At that juncture, our Burakada master, Krishna Bhaskar sir, I don't know what prompted him to say, he just said, Swami, if your grace is there, if your blessing is there, by next year, by this time, on the same day, we will perform Burakata on Mother Ishwaramma. And then Swami was so happy, he said, Nanugraham Nashirvadam nikeppudu undi bangaru. And he blessed him profusely. Exactly after 1 year, on March 18th, this happened on March 9th, on March 18th, we could perform Burakata on Mother Ishwaramma. Till March 16th, there was no hope for our program actually. You know, as many of the listeners know, that during March, examinations go on.
Yes.
And then Swami always, you know, very particular about students performing well. So during that portion of time, only bhajans go on.
Correct.
And Swami, except for the gratitude programs. But I heard many of the elder devotees telling about, you know, you just go and pray Mother. She will take your query or she will take your prayers to Swami. And once she submits to Swami, this is bound to happen. Hmm. Whatever you wish for. So I thought, okay, I have given all my efforts we have put in. We have tried through vice chancellor, this, that, we tried to give letters. But that one day, March 16th, I just thought I should surrender myself to Mother. And I did 108 pradakshinas to Mother Ishwaramma statue in Ishwaramma school.
Hmm.
On March 18th, around 1 o'clock when we were in college, we got a call. Swami is asking you to perform today in Mandir.
Wow.
On Mother Ishwaramma. And we went inside and Swami was so happy about the whole thing. He heard the topic. He said, oh, you're doing on my mother. And then Swami said, do very carefully. He said, so many listeners are there, audience, around 20,000 people. Then in a jovial way, he said, make sure that blood doesn't ooze out from their ears. Then we said, Swami, everything by your grace, only you should do. So that's how I remember this Ishwaramma story, which has become eternal, which Swami made it eternal. In 2009, I remember, we are preparing for one more story on Swami's life story. There was a big dream, cutting short. I was asking in dream, I was asking many questions. Swami was always telling, no, no, no. I made him hear all the 18 songs which we were planning to put in a Burakata.
In the dream?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I'm asking Swami, I'm negotiating a date with Swami. Swami, can we perform on this day? Swami, please Swami, our final year is getting over. The last opportunity we'll be getting. Finally, I remembered 2 days before, in the dream itself I remembered 2 days before, we actually composed 2 lines on Mother Ishwaramma's poem.
Mm-hmm.
In the dream, I called Prabhakar, who is the main singer in the Burakata. I told Prabhakar, please sing those two lines. We'll tell Swami. Swami will be really happy with Mother Ishwaramas. Then somehow he sang the two lines. You won't imagine the amount of happiness Swami has shown after singing these two lines. Swami, just immediately then Swami asked me, hey, when is your program? Then I asked Swami, are you trying to teach me this much time you have taken? Around 15 minutes, dream has passed by already.
Mm-hmm.
Swami, is it this chance that you've given me to be at close quarters with you and discuss? Or you're trying to show me that I love my mother so much. How could you forget about it? As soon as I got the topic out, you, like a small child, as though he got a small child, if he asked for a chocolate, immediately when you can see the beam of joy.
Yes.
Similarly, you acted, Swami. Then Swami said, nothing like that. Many people put programs, many things happen, but how many people give importance to audience? Then Swami said, your program on Ishwarama will happen when you can satisfy each and every member in the audience. Then this program is bound to happen on April 4th. And you won't believe, brother, I got the dream on March 19th of 2009. On April 4th, as Swami said in the dream, the program did happen on that day.
Amazing.
So that's when I understood, like, even when you say divine mother, when you say divine beings, their spirit is so high.
Yes.
That if we really pray and aspire for something good, for something better, their blessings, their grace is always there. Every moment we can feel it.
Amazing.
So I want to actually make listeners listen to this Padyam which I mentioned.
In the dream what Prabhakar sang.
There are only two lines we could tune that time.
Okay.
Later this Padyam, Swami liked it so much. In Kodaikanal, in Puttaparthi, many times Swami asked us repeatedly to sing this Padyam.
So do you have the Padyam?
Yeah, please. Yeah. I'll just...
Sure.
ರತ್ನಾಕರ ವಂಶಪು ರಾಜಮಾತಾ ಸಮತಕು ಮಮತಕು ಪುನಾದಿವೇಸಿನ ಪುನೀತಾ ನೀತಿಗೆ ಸೇವಾ ನಿರತಿಗೆ ನಿಲಸಿನ ನವ್ಯ ಗೀತಾ ಮದರು ತೆರಿಸಾನು ಮರಿಪಿಂಚಿನ ದೈವ ಮಾತಾ ನಿದುರಿಂಚಿನ ಭಕ್ತಿಗೆ ತೊಲಿಕೋಡಿ ಕೂತ ಮಹಿಳಾಮಣಿ ಲೋಕಾನಿಕಿ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತಾ ನಿನು ಗಂಡ ಬುಡಮಿ ತಲ್ಲಿಕಿ ಸನ್ನಿಹಿತ ರತ್ನಾಕರ ವಂಶಪು ರಾಜಮಾತಾ
ವಾವ್ ಸೊ ಮೆಲೋಡಿಯಸ್ I mean, it's so beautiful to hear, but I think for the benefit of listeners, you should explain to us also what is conveyed in this Padyam, which Swami loved so much.
Yeah. Here, the first line if you see, Ratnakara Vamshapu Rajamata, there are two beings who are very close to Swami, are got into the first line of the Padyam.
Mm.
Ratnakara Vamshapu Rajamata. Rajamata is also a devotee of Swami.
Yes.
So, here it means, you are the Rajamata of Ratnakara family. Mother Ishwarama.
Yes. You are the queen of the Ratnakara family.
And the next line is, Samataku Mamataku Punadi Vesina Punita. You have laid foundation for equality and compassion.
Wow.
Neetiki Seva Niratiki Nilichina Navya Gita. She had stood for morality and service, Mother Ishwarama. And her love, the next line is, her love is beyond earthly mother can comprehend.
Wow.
Okay. And the next line is so beautiful. Her actions are wake up call to the devotees who are in deep slumber.
Her actions are a wake up call.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nidurinchina bhakti ki toli kodi kuta. Like wake up call, how a hen gives us.
Yes.
In similar way, her action is a wake up call for all the devotees.
She is that exemplary personality.
Exactly.
Which makes us question ourselves.
Do we truly love Swami? Are we on the path that Swami Bhagwan wants us to be?
Very true. And the next line is, her life itself is like Bhagavad Gita for women.
Wow.
For women to follow, her life is like Bhagavad Gita. Ninu kanna pudami talli ki sannihita, you are closest of close to Mother Earth who has given you birth. So this is how the poem goes.
My God.
No wonder Swami liked it so much.
Yes. I mean, when the tune as well as the lyric, both are so profound.
I remember one interview, our sir got an interview when Swami called and he fell at his Swami's feet. In that particular Burakatha, Swami actually wanted to include three of his songs, Swami has thought.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point, Swami asked, "Hey, are my songs okay to include in your Burakatha?"
Oh my God.
Then sir said, "Swami, what is mine and what is yours? Everything is yours." Then Swami revealed one. These revelations are what we should wait for.
Yes.
He said, every time you think in this way and start writing, the ring Swami had given him in 1964, Swami said, through this, I flow into your script. That is why people love your songs. It's not because of you write, it's because I flow there.
Wow. Amazing. I mean, if you see the whole, he wanted the Burakatha in such a sweet way. He asked, you know, have you forgotten about my mother? And then so many series of events happened.
Very true.
For it to fructify, you know. It is just a divine
saga.
Yeah, divine saga unfolding itself, and you had the chance to be part of it. You had the chance to play a role in it.
Really.
Amazing. And whenever you think about it, you know, I remember so many occasions whenever the word Ishwarama would just be mentioned in front of Bhagwan. Yeah. That would be enough to make him emotional.
Very
that
true.
That would be, you could see that his heart is, you know, almost yes. overflowing. Just the mention of the word.
Very true. Because I remember in Kodaikanal, Dr. Geeta Reddy, the minister of Andhra Pradesh Tourism,
yes.
she had come there and Swami introduced us to her. And then Swami became emotional, saying that, do you know her mother's name also is Ishwari Bhai? Swami said, and then Ishwari Bhai, but then Swami said, my mother's name is Ishwaramba, her mother's name is Ishwari Bhai, see that? And then he became emotional.
I mean, even slightest, where you think it is not related also.
Exactly.
You know?
So,
even half, mention of half her name.
Very true. Because see, maybe this name was not given to her after yes. Swami became God.
Yes.
Even before Swami was born, correct. The name was Ishwarama.
Yes.
Which gives, you know, it is already chosen mother. When you yes. said it's chosen mother,
absolutely.
Everything falls in place.
Absolutely.
The names, the forms.
Yes.
So.
And the beautiful relationship.
Very
in fact,
true.
I had the chance to speak to Ratanlal Amma.
Oh.
Who, as many senior devotees would know, that she had the chance to serve Swami at very close quarters for almost 50 years. And she was perhaps the only lady devotee who had the chance to
serve Swami
at close quarters and
very true.
Be in charge of Bhagwan's kitchen right from the 60s. And so when I asked her what are her reminiscences, what has she seen of the relationship that was prevalent between mother and Ishwarama, she had very beautiful things to share.
Wow.
So let us listen to a small clip of what she's shared and then we'll discuss further.
Sure.
Sarah Manti, please share with us your reminiscences of Mother Ishwarama. When was the occasion you first saw her?
I saw her in 65, but I'm not a word of Telugu, you know, and she had no understanding of Hindi. So, only from a distance, namaskar, namaskar, because she would not allow anybody to come near her and touch her feet. Very few people. She would say, po, po, po. Now, gradually, I started taking food for Swami upstairs in the dining room, small dining room, and mother also used to come there. She was helped by somebody. And she's sitting, and there used to be little, to start with, conversation between Bhagwan and mother. Swami was very naughty. Swami used to tease her, you know, and she would also answer back and wouldn't spare, you know, chajavab. Very good conversation. And then she would get very angry with him, get up, and then naturally we were 3-4 people, the steps were very narrow. So if we went forward, then she would catch hold of our hand, whoever she liked, and then we would go and leave her. And then she say, "What shall I do? What shall I do? I know he is Pedda Devudu. I know he is Pedda Devudu, but he is my son also."
It means, I know he is God, the big God, but he is also my son.
He is also. You know, that used to be many times, because really Swami used to tease her a lot. Swami, you know, really, and then have a good laugh. And then she knew that he is purposely doing it. That used to be there, whatever, you know. I think Swami's love for her, because if Swami talks that you are good and all that, so it would not have that sort of an effect as, you know, yes, you have this point, that point, just to...
Yes, sort of, I think it's just some way of that intimate relationship that they had.
Oh, lovely relationship. And Swami was very, very fond of his mother and respected her very much, because she had very good qualities in her, very good quality. She would not accept anything from anybody, you know. Mind you, they were not very, in the beginning also, not very well to do. Even the Lord was also had, you know, and he would not spoil anybody. Especially his mother, he was very strict with her in certain ways, giving her things or sending her anything, because he never wanted her to get into any habit. He was very particular. And she also understood, and she never asked anybody, she never accepted anything. Even we would take something for her, and then we would ask Swami, So Swami would say, "Give it to her." She would not take it. If you would give it to Swami, then Swami would hand it over, and then she would accept it.
Oh, she was very strict about not taking anything from anyone.
No, nothing. Not only that, and she was very strict in her dealings with the public, so that she never allowed anybody to come. Only people, because she used to go to Vrindavan. When she used to go to Vrindavan, there were certain ladies, devotees, who were also taken. Now there is a room inside, where Amma is also there. Supposing Parvatama is there, Venkama is there, they are also there, and Mamma is there, and we are also there, you know. So then she would see what Swami's relationship with all of us is. She was very observant, though she didn't understand, you know, the language, but she knew. She even, when Swami went to do the Dharamkshetra opening, Swami took her. Then she went to few houses wherever Swami was invited, and she observed everything. That what Swami's relationship with that bhakta is. And then she started keeping that, she was very sensible lady. Imagine, brought up lived in a village, not much connection, nowhere going, no money, nothing.
No education, nothing.
No education, not only that, you know, in every way. It was very simple, and also she had that love for Swami that she should not do anything which would upset Swami. Look at her love for Swami. As she used to say, many times she would be very angry. And then when she would reach her room, she said, I know he is Padda Devuru. Three times he would repeat, I know he is Padda Devuru, but he is my son also, na.
So that is Ratanlal Lamma, and isn't that very sweet, Arvind Sai?
Oh my God, when she said, she didn't know the language, and Ishwaramma, Mother Ishwaramma didn't know Hindi. I remember the same problem we faced. I told in the dream, Swami said, your story will be successful, but there are plethora of conditions he put.
Mm-hmm.
He said, your Burakada should be heart to heart.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to Kodaikanal, and Mother Ishwaramma story was performed. And at point where, towards the end, it's my dialogue, and I broke down, saying that it's been 37 years that mother has passed away, and I broke down completely. For 5 minutes, there was only cries all over Sai Shruti. The main singer is crying, Swami is crying, devotees are crying, instrumental, everybody is crying, everybody is fully into that loss of mother, as though it happened then and there. And then, next day morning, we went for a lake walk, and then I could see some foreigners. I don't know exactly they're Russia or French. They just came up to three of us. They could recognize, in spite of being in white costume. They just came and said, now we'll say what we understood from yesterday's story. Could you say this is right or wrong? And they went on to explain the whole story in a sequence. I had just tears in my eyes.
Oh my God.
What could make them understand Telugu, a regional language of Andhra Pradesh, a person who is coming from France or Russia or any other part of the world, could understand the whole story, 45 minutes, and they are with you. They said, even we cried. We didn't know why we cried, but we cried. And then I thought, oh my God, this is so beautiful, because Swami gives you that experience.
Wow. Even when you say that, when I have stand on end, I mean, this is what is heart-to-heart conversation.
Exactly. Because one interview, one of our brothers who got, they also said that one song they sang, Re Palle Balani Valle, which many of the listeners and Sai devotees will be aware of. After the song, Swami said, exactly in this way, Ishwaramma used to think in opposite interview room door. She used to sit there and she used to think, is this what happened? Is this what happened?
Just like Mother Yashoda used to think.
Exactly, exactly. And in our Burakada too, there is one song which exactly deals with this. It is called Nadenta Bhagyamo Manasa Inta Dodda Sutuni Kanti Telusa. I have the song for sure. Listeners. If you can play that song,
sure,
then I'll explain the meaning later part of
definitely
after the song.
Nadenta bhagyamo manasa inta dodda sutuni kanti telusa. Nadenta bhagyamo manasa inta dodda sutuni kanti telusa. ముక్కోటి దేవతలు ముదముతో కోరగా ముక్కోటి దేవతలు ముదముతో కోరగా కవి గాయకుడు దర్శకుడు నర్తకుడు కవి గాయకుడు దర్శకుడు నర్తకుడు నాయకుడు వేదాంతి నీలి కాంతి నాయకుడు వేదాంతి నీలి కాంతి నా గర్భమున ప్రవేశించిన దేవాదీతుడు నాసుతుడు నాదెంత భాగ్యమో మనస ఇంత దొడ్డ సుతుని కంటి తెలుస కాశీరామేశ్వరములు కనుల ముందే కనబడును కాశీరామేశ్వరములు కనుల ముందే కనబడును తిరుపతి శిరిడి ద్వారకాయోధ్య తిరుపతి శిరిడి ద్వారకాయోధ్య పరితికి తరలోచ్చెను పరితికి తరలోచ్చెను ప్రత్యక్ష అవతారుడు పరిపూర్ణ అవతారుడు ప్రేమావతారుడు సత్య సాయీషుడు నా సుతుడు నాదెంత భాగ్యమో మనస ఇంత దొడ్డ సుతుని కంటి తెలుసా.
Yes, Seven Sai, please tell us the meaning of this beautiful song.
As Ratanlal aunty said, like every time she is so proud of, you know, he's Pedadevudu, but still he is my son.
Yes.
The line you can see, Premavatarudu Satya Saishudu Nasutudu.
Yes.
He's my son.
My son.
So I'll just give the meaning of the whole song.
Yes.
Like, how lucky am I who have given to birth to such a divine being. Mukkoti devatas are praying for his arrival. And he is the poet, he is the singer, he is the dancer, he is the scholar of scholars, Vedanta scholar. He is Vedanta himself. He has entered into my womb, who is none other than the divine himself. That is the first paragraph. And the next paragraph, this song also written by a sir who has seen Ishwaramma garu.
Okay.
Because he was coming from the year 1960.
Right.
So after he has seen her, he could actually accumulate few qualities what he has perceived and he could develop into a song.
Yes, I mean that's really a great blessing. So he didn't have to really imagine, he has actually physically seen mother.
Very true. And then she says, the next one, next paragraph is, it's like, Kashi Rameshwaramulu Kanulamunde Kanapadanu. They are seen in front of me, Kashi and Rameshwaram. Tirupati Shiridi Dwaraka Ayodhya Patti Ki Taralochanu. They are actually coming towards Patti. All these four shrines, all the famous temples of north and south.
They are converging in Patti.
Yeah, they are converging in Patti. He is divine in flesh and blood, full of love. He is Satya Sai and he is my son.
Wow.
It's so beautifully written.
I think like every mother, she was very possessive of her son.
Very true.
And very difficult to reconcile that, you know, my son has suddenly become risen to such great heights. And I think every day she was left baffled and bewildered seeing Bhagwan and his glory and his majesty and the devotees coming and, you know, the way his mission was unfolding. But at the same time, unable to let go of Bhagwan, let go of his son.
Very true.
Her son.
Because we can also, from Kasturi sir's life story, we can make out how she was so concerned when Swami went to East Africa.
Yes.
How many times she has told him that please take care of Swami, please take care of
Swami. Yes.
Like every mother has.
Yes.
In the similar way she
was concerned about Bhagwan's travels, Bhagwan's food, wherever he went.
Exactly.
Everything. Yeah. Everything.
Yeah.
And I think just like how she never wanted to let go Swami.
Yeah.
I think Swami also never wanted to let go of her.
Very true.
You know, that was the, I mean, Swami loved to be in her company because it was fun for Swami to be.
Yeah, as Mother Ratanlal Garu says,
yes,
it is fun to see both of them being so naughty.
Yes. Because in fact, Ratanlal Amma, she narrated one very beautiful incident. Once when they were traveling in the car and Mr. Rajareddy was driving and Swami was sitting in the front.
Mm.
And Ishwaramma mother was sitting behind Bhagwan.
So behind there were three other ladies. Mm. So it was, you know, a bit tight. And the mother was sort of leaning in the front. And her hands were stretched, holding on to Swami's seat.
Oh, beautiful.
And so Swami took that opportunity, and the charming Swami that he is, you know, he started playing with mother's bangles. Okay. And then suddenly Swami said, "Oh, you have golden bangles.
Oh,
who gave them to you?"
What was her reply?
And so she immediately said, "Who else? Your father gave."
Oh my God.
So, you know, Swami had a hearty laugh, you know, and that really sent everyone into ripples of smiles, because everyone knew by no means her husband could have given her the golden bangles. Because, you know, Swami's childhood, they were struggling to make both ends meet.
Very
but
true.
Still, the mother intentionally did not want to give credit to Swami. You know, just like Bhagwan never praised her qualities, you know. Bhagwan always loved to tickle her.
Wow.
And, you know, that's the way, you know, that it's just, it's like two pals, two friends, you know.
Very
like,
true.
Having friend. And that's what Ratanlal Lama says, that effect was very nice, you know. This relationship had that beautiful effect.
Very
if you are a witness to it, I mean, I think what other
nothing,
joy.
Nothing.
What other joy. You know. And so she went on to say that Swami was really, really fond of her. And because there was sterling virtues in her. And as she mentioned, that even when someone gave something to her, she would always say, "You give it to Swami." She would accept it only when Swami gave it to her. Never accepted anything from anyone. And as Ratanlal Lama also concluded in that clip, Swami would never, she would never do anything without consulting Swami. You know, let alone going out. She would not even visit the houses of her relatives and other children in the village itself without telling Swami.
Sarah.
And even though she had all access to Swami, and she could actually go anytime to Bhagwan's room, but she would never do that.
She gave him.
Yeah, she never took advantage of that. You know, even when Bhagwan came to the room, she would wait for Bhagwan to settle down, take the chair, Bhagwan to start the conversation, and at an opportune time only she would say if there was something she wanted to say. And such was her love that she would never do anything which could upset Bhagwan.
Oh my God.
And I think that is Ratanlal Lama was saying, you know, in that sense, she was an epitome of Indian womanhood, you know, the virtues, that grace, that dignity.
Very true.
Of Indian woman.
Very true.
You could see in her that simplicity.
Yeah.
And as she was saying, she was very observant, she was very sensible, even though she was illiterate, she was very intelligent in that respect.
Yeah.
Lot of intuition, lot of common sense, and conducting the way Bhagwan would like an Indian woman. And
she has no compulsion. Actually,
yeah,
she need not follow anything.
Correct.
What her son says.
Yes.
But still,
yes.
She had that respect and reverence and treated Swami as divine.
Absolutely. Let me play for you one more clip where Ratanlal Lama, she's sharing about this aspect of Indian womanhood that she saw in Mother Ishwarama.
Wow.
It was such a relationship, no restriction. No, nothing. Swami would talk to her, she would retort. She would also say, and as I say, that she was very intelligent lady.
Mm-hmm.
She was not an ordinary person. Though she didn't look, because she didn't have much dealing, but she was very sensible and a very good lady.
And Swami used to always hail her as one of the ideals of Indian culture, Indian motherhood.
And she was really an Indian motherhood. She behaved in that manner. She would never take advantage if Swami has come inside, that she would start, unless and until Swami would go to that room, then a chair is put for Swami, and then Swami starts talking, then she would talk. Otherwise, mother, she can say anything she wants to.
Even though she was from the village and from a rustic environment, but she was very polite and very cultured that way.
And she was very nice to everybody. She knew how to behave. She was a great lady, really great lady.
Is there anything that you saw in her that you wish the modern generation of women should inculcate?
Modern generation, we are also, you know, we are not young. I'm 93, so I'm also belonging to that. We were brought up in tradition up north. Understand?
Yes.
Now, here also, the old people, you know, the Telugu, the Tamilians or all, though we didn't understand their language, but we saw that how they behave, as Swami used to say, how Indian woman should behave. It is only now the whole pattern has changed. Swami's college, Anandpur College, how Swami used to give discourses to these girls, how he used to tell them how to behave, how to maintain the family, how to maintain the children, how to look after the in-laws, everything. You know, Swami was a great believer of the old tradition of womanhood, not this modern. He never liked this modern behavior of women. He used to be very, immediately say something, so that one was little careful. If we had, one had any modern ideas, one would not express it. Because Swami was dealing with everybody. At that time, so there was no such thing as central trust and all that. And no, some small committees were formed in all the cities, you know, coordinators and all that. And then Swami used to call them women. Also with women he used to talk very nicely, but distance. Women were not behaving, pushing or going near. Swami, wherever Swami is, they are sitting and perfect behaviors. You know, if anybody misbehaved, I was asked to get out of the...
That decorum and that grace and dignity of womanhood.
Swami was very particular of old womanhood. And that is, he said, that is how the nation is what it is, progress.
So that is Ratanlal Amma hailing how through the mother Bhagwan communicated the ideals of Indian womanhood.
Very true, Bishop.
And in fact, I remember there was this occasion where we did an article on a painting of Mother Ishwaramma that our Sai brother Madhusudan Rao Naidu had once drawn. This happened in Vrindavan in 2003.
Oh.
And he had drawn two life-size portraits of Mother Ishwaramma and Bhagwan's father, Pedda Venkama Raju.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes. And Swami liked the portraits and they were inside Trai Vrindavan. And one afternoon Swami calls him. And Swami very curiously looks at the photograph and then he tells Madhu, "Hey boy, why is Ishwaramma not smiling in this picture?" Swami says, "She used to be always smiling and happy."
Oh my God.
And then Bhagwan draws the attention of Madhu to the plain sari of the mother. And then Swami says, "She was a very simple lady. See, she was always content wearing the simplest of clothes."
From a portrait, Swami is actually deriving so many qualities of hers.
Not only that, then Swami looks at her feet and then Swami says, "See, her feet are not seen because they are covered by the sari. She was a very shy woman and she would never let anyone see her feet."
So beautiful.
And then Swami said, "See, only one hand of Mother Ishwaramma is seen because the sari has covered the other hand. See how she covers herself completely."
So wonderful.
And then Swami pointed to his own body and said, "See, even I don't like to show my feet. That's why I cover myself completely. I wear a close neck and full sleeved robe so that my body is not revealed to others." And then, you know, Swami in a chuckles and he says that, you know, "I would actually want to even cover my face."
You just heard part one of our program Outside, Inside and Deep Inside. This episode was first aired on 8th May 2014. as part of Thursday Live from Prashanthi Nilayam on Asia Stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. We hope you enjoyed it. Your feedback is very important to us. Please email your thoughts to listener@radiosai.org. You can catch the next part of this right here, same time, same place, next week. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.